So let's go ahead and shift gears a little bit, then come back with a quick bit of trivial trivia here. What do Superman, Batman, and George Washington's adopted children all have in common? I'll give you three options. A, they were all adopted. B, they all had moms named Martha. Or C, they were all boys. All had moms named Martha. That's right. All right. So, you know, there aren't that many Marthas in the Bible. There's only one, actually. And so today we're going to talk about the only Martha in the Bible. And she is the sister of Mary of Bethany and Lazarus of Bethany. And we first read about Martha over in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10, where we discover that Martha was very hospitable. She opened up her house to Jesus and his disciples. So let's take a look at that text. Again, this is Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, if you have your Bibles open. And we're going to be looking at, this is our main text, and we'll definitely be referring to it throughout our time this morning. So again, Luke 10, verse 38 and following. Reads, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I'm not trying to be hard on Martha, but when we first meet her, she did something that some people would call foolish. And it's not that she was trying to be foolish. As a matter of fact, she was actually trying to be very gracious. She was a gracious hostess to Jesus and his disciples. Because think about it, you know, they had been traveling all across the countryside as Jesus taught the crowds. And, you know, so they went ahead and they came across the village, Martha's village, and she did the right thing by being hospitable and inviting them all into her home to rest and to be refreshed. And so, like the perfect hostess, she began to prepare a meal for them. But think about what she's got to do. It's no small task to prepare a meal for 13 full-grown men plus her family. After all, she hadn't expected them, and so nothing was prepared in advance for such a large group. And it wasn't like she could go, you know, head out to Costco or Sam's Club and buy some pre-cooked bulk food or anything. Go down the street to the deli and get some sandwiches, you know. But, you know, she had to go ahead and make sure all that stuff was set out. So everything that she set out had to be made from scratch. She didn't go buy some bread. She had to make the bread, all this stuff, right? But she did that gladly because she saw that this was Jesus. She welcomed Jesus and his men. They were honored guests, okay? Honored guests. And while she was busy preparing the meal, Jesus did what Jesus does. He sat down and began to teach. Now, in the home besides Martha, we're told that her sister Mary is also there. And Mary is excited, you know? She loves Jesus. Mary idolizes Jesus. Jesus is her hero. If they had t-shirts back then that said, Jesus is my hero, she'd be wearing one, you know. For example, later on over in John chapter 12, Jesus again visits Martha's home. And we're told there in verse 3 that Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Jesus is Mary's hero. She literally worships the ground that he walks on. And now Jesus is here. He's in her house. He's teaching. It doesn't get any better than that. Jesus is here. And so she's so excited. She just sits right down at Jesus' feet. She starts to listen to him, you know, and she forgets all about Martha and the meal and, you know, setting the table and whatnot. And while it's true that everybody loves listening to Jesus, even Martha, there's work to be done, and Mary ain't doing it. And so little by little, Martha gets upset. I imagine her kind of making the occasional grunt or huff while she's busy working. You know, huh, you know, maybe setting a pot down a little hard, you know, looking back over, you know, maybe banging a few of the utensils as she gets, you know, maybe someone to look her way when she makes a grunt. You know, she's kind of puttering around, making noises from time to time, glancing over into Jesus' direction, because that's where Mary's at, right? But she's always staring at Mary, not at Jesus. Mary's just sitting there, you know, doing nothing, right? And the looks that she's giving her sister are the kind of probably burned holes in steel-plated armor. Martha then steps over to the fire, maybe, and she's maybe taking care of the roast lamb. And so she kind of moves things. She accidentally burns her hand. So, you know, she's like, you know, kind of hold that. And she's got to clean up some stuff. Takes her rag, maybe tries to toss it over there. And it just splashes up against the wall. Just one thing leads to another. She's getting frustrated. Things are getting messier instead of better. And she's so worked up because nothing seems to be working out. Everything's going wrong. And it's all Mary's fault. You know, after all, she's just sitting there doing nothing. Finally, Martha just can't take it anymore. So she stomps over to Jesus and she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now that's wrong on so many levels. It's hard to really know where to start. Because look at what's happened, right? Martha's lost her temper. She's pitched a fit in front of her guests, but worst of all, she's forgotten who is in her house. She's gotten so upset about her agenda that she's begun to treat Jesus like a servant. And so she tells him what to do. "You tell her to help me," she says. Now, Jesus is in a place where most men never want to be in the sight of. See, Jesus is face to face with an angry woman. That said, let's take a look at how Jesus handles the situation. He says to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, some people think that Jesus was implying that Martha's work in the kitchen was somehow not a good thing, and that Martha should have been sitting down beside Mary instead of working out in the kitchen. But that is not what's happening here at all. Think about it. Did Jesus ever tell Martha that she was wrong for working in the kitchen? Did he rebuke her for not being down there with Mary, listening to him teach? Yeah, he didn't do that either. In fact, the next time we read about Jesus coming to her home, she's doing the exact same thing. Over in the first two verses of John chapter 12, we're told that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. And guess what it says about Martha? Martha served. That's the two words there to describe her. Martha served. You just simply can't get this woman out of the kitchen, you know? This is her life. This is what she does. She's a very hospitable woman, you know, and that's good. That's okay. You know, why else do you think Jesus shows up at their place so often? She's a good cook, you know? Hey, you want to go stop to Martha's again? You know, she's got that good, you know? Anyway, in our text this morning, it's not like Martha couldn't have heard Jesus while she's working. I mean, it's not that big of a house. They didn't have houses, you know, like we have houses today. She's probably just in the next room, and the rooms are probably connected by a large archway. Besides, Jesus has got a voice loud enough to teach thousands. So inside a home, his voice is going to be everywhere. And so when Jesus came to her house, you know, she could have prepared the meal and listened to him, but she didn't. Martha was not listening to Jesus. But why wasn't she listening? That's a good question. Well, there in verse 40, we're told that Martha was distracted. But what's distracting her? Everything, it seems like, you know. But Mary's really distracting her. Think about it. Mary's not doing what Martha thinks she should be doing. That said, is Mary being lazy? No. Because if she were, then Jesus would have rebuked her. He would have ordered her into the kitchen right then and there and helped Martha. But he didn't. And so Mary did her share around the house. We can be certain of that. You know, it's just that this time, at this time, she wanted to be there with Jesus. And so the problem really isn't Mary. It's Martha. But wait a minute again. Wasn't Martha being a servant? Doesn't Jesus think she's doing a good thing? Doesn't he come back later? She's doing the same thing. She's doing ministry, right? Think about it. You know, she was meeting the needs of Jesus and his disciples. And isn't that what, you know, she was supposed to be doing? Using her gift for the glory of God? You know, is there something wrong here? Well, you know, it seems like there is. And that's because Martha got angry. James 1:20 reminds us that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. In other words, if you're angry with someone, then most likely they're not the problem, you are. Notice the contrast in Martha and Jesus here. You see how Jesus responds to Martha again in verses 41 and 42? Again, he says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And you can almost hear the contrast. You know, she's like, "Have her help me, Martha, Martha." Now, it's his demeanor is soft. It's gentle. Nowhere in these verses can you hear Jesus screaming at her. I can't help but hear Martha scream at Jesus, though. You know, Jesus isn't belittling her or what she's doing, her ministry, or questioning her love for him at all. So what does he say? Well, you know, he says her name twice, right? Martha, Martha. It's almost like he's saying, you know, it's okay. Martha, Martha, it's okay. You done good things, Martha. And I appreciate it. But Martha, you know, you forgot something. You forgot to put me first. Mary's understood that. She's understood that it's not about her. It's about me. You forgot that. You can think about our meeting here today, you know. While I preach here, this is not my church. And while y'all come here to study and worship and fellowship, it's not your church either. And that's because the church doesn't belong to you or me. It belongs to Jesus. Again, over Matthew 16:18, Jesus told us that he would build his church, and he did. And he bought the building materials, he bought you and me, with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. And so my name and your name and your great-great-grandpappy's name or whoever is not going to appear on the sign of this church building, because the church isn't about you or me. It's about Jesus. And so whenever we get engaged in a ministry, it's got to be handled the same way. In other words, it's not your ministry. It belongs to Jesus. And so the print ministry and back, it belongs to Jesus. The Women of Faith Fellowship, a.k.a. formerly Moms or Us, it belongs to Jesus. The door knocking we did, it belongs to Jesus. The Wednesday night dinners, it belongs to Jesus, and so on and so on and so on. See, it all belongs to Jesus. And you can usually tell when someone forgets that because they get upset when things don't feel quite right or go right in their ministry. They don't feel appreciated. Maybe they don't agree with the decision. They don't believe that the church is doing something, whatever it is, right. And so they get mad. They throw a hissy fit, just like Martha did. I remember years ago when there were certain men at a congregation far, far away, somewhere out maybe in Oklahoma or Texas, and they could all preach very well. I lived in both of those places, so I'll leave it up for grabs. And there were a couple of men there who all could preach very well, including, of course, their hired preacher. And one or two would often approach the elders of that congregation about getting their fair share of preaching time in on Sunday mornings. And the reason I know about this is because, well, you'll find out, I guess. But so they wouldn't take a Sunday night, and they'd never make the effort to teach a Wednesday night class. They didn't want that. They wanted a Sunday morning because that's when the most people would get to hear their sermons. And when they didn't get their way, they left the congregation. That's how I know about it, because I'm like, hey, where did they go? They left. Why'd they leave? They couldn't bring it. Because their ministry, you see, didn't belong to Jesus. It belonged to themselves. They were Marthas. I guess that would be a Martha man. Martha, I don't know. Anyway, we always need to be careful to remember that this is Jesus' church, and that the work that we do for the church that belongs to Jesus. And that's because none of us are immune to Martha moments. We need to remember that, you know. We need to remember that this is Jesus' church. None of us are immune to forgetting that this church isn't about us. It's about Jesus. And so every once in a while, even the best of us can get a little upset over silly things. Now, I don't want to walk away from things this morning thinking any of the less of Martha. As a matter of fact, there are five things that we can learn from Martha. And the first one is hospitality is always the right choice. Hospitality is always the right choice. Never mind if there's dried up, sticky, crusty food on counters or the toilet stinks and needs a cleaning, you know. You know, welcome people into your home. Doing that, it's really a gift. It's a gift, and it doesn't matter if your place is pristine or decorated to perfection or not, or there's couch cushions all over the place and there's dirt on the floor. And that's because true hospitality wraps a person up in, I don't know, a grace hug, and it makes them feel special. Never mind dust bunnies or random socks laying around. I would pick up underclothing, though. Make sure you do that. Okay, anyway. See, but Martha did the right thing in opening up her home, even though she wasn't anywhere close to being prepared for her guests. The second lesson that we can learn from Martha is comparison only breeds anxiety and discontent. Again, back in our text, we see Mary sitting there listening to Jesus while Martha is busy flying around the kitchen like a whirlwind, checking the roast lamb, setting the table, putting icing on cake. If they had cake, I'd like cake. Anyway, whatever, you know, she's the kind of hostess that has a mission that won't stop, and all the guests are happily rubbing their tummies, you know, all nice and full. And Martha, that was a great meal, you know. But there's just one problem. Here's poor Martha trying to serve dinner for 15 or more with zero help. And so when she flies past the living room and sees her sister out of the corner of her eye, well, that's just it for her, you know. And that's where the discontent begins. When Martha starts comparing her situation to someone else's. The truth is, no matter how it looks on the outside, God is at work in every situation. No two circumstances are exactly the same. And comparison doesn't change someone else's situation or yours. It just steals your joy. So be content with what you have. Take a look at the back of the article on the sermon notes. Third, when you're struggling, we learn from Martha that we're to go to Jesus first. Go to Jesus first. Martha's having a tough time, you know? And rather than run away or scream at Mary, she knows exactly who can fix things. And so Martha marches right on up to the highest authority in her home and commands Jesus, make my sister come and help me. Well, there's something to be said, you know, for knowing who can help. You know, sometimes we can be tempted to share our problems with everyone in the world, but the wisest thing to do is to approach the one who can actually fix things, and that's Jesus. Now, obviously, commanding Jesus wasn't the right thing to do, but she still went to him first. So Martha knew, you know, what she was doing, kind of. Because while she knew who to go to, again, she didn't exactly go about things the right way. But that really brings us up to point number four, and that is you can tell Jesus anything. You can tell Jesus anything, even if it's not the right things to say. Think about it. Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha because of what she said. Jesus doesn't say to her in like some, I don't know, mocking tone, make your sister come help you. Jesus is British all of a sudden. I don't know. Or it sounds like Mr. Nazareth. It's my, listen here, girly. You know, you don't get to speak to me that way. I don't know. What else would he say? Maybe, you know, don't you know who I am? You know, you don't get to talk to me like that. Anyway, instead, Jesus accepts Martha where she is, as she is. And he listens to her tirade without batting an eye. The point being, again, we can tell Jesus anything, even if we don't exactly ask the right way. And we can do that because, you know, he's a strong God. He can handle it when you come at him all upset and angry. And he won't mind if you tell him exactly what you're feeling. We need to remember that our Lord is approachable, loving, and eager to listen. Well, the fifth and final thing that we want to learn from Martha today is the path to peace begins with one thing. Again, back in our text in Luke 10, 41 and 42, after Martha goes ahead and says her peace, Jesus offers her the path to peace. When he says to her again, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So what Jesus did was to remind Martha and us that we really need to be concerned with one thing. We should really be focusing on one thing, and that's on Jesus. It's on Jesus and our relationship. And our relationship with him starts, of course, when we become a Christian. When we focus on that one thing. When we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon our trust in him, we turn to him in repentance. And we confess him as Lord and Savior. And we are baptized. We are immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. And then when we come up out of the water, you know, we're born again. You know. And so we have focused on Jesus at that moment. The thing that we need to do is to continue to live our life for him until Jesus comes back again, but we go to be with him. He needs to be the focus. Can't forget Jesus and what we do. And for those of us who are already Christians, well, obviously, the message for us is that it's important to remember to keep focused on the one thing that will not be taken away from us. That's our faith in Jesus. Again, if anyone has the need to come forward this morning, whether it's to share or to seek prayer or to become a Christian for the very first time, as always, you're encouraged to come forward as together we stand and sing the song that Dave selected.